Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
And welcome to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, it has been a very, very interesting week since we last spoke, and some really amazing things happening and some not-so-great things happening. One of the things, current event-wise, is I got to get stuck in Chicago Airport. Well, actually, it wasn't so bad. I got stuck in Los Angeles and had to go with Savannah to Disney World one day and to Universal Studios the other day because someone in Chicago saw fit to try to burn down the control tower. So it did create a lot of issues for a lot of travelers, including myself and my dog. But, you know, it's having a really highly trained service dog with you when you have all these issues, it's great because the dogs don't care. And then you're just dealing with the people. So we had a really interesting time. We were on WABC TV in Los Angeles, again, another ABC appearance, talking about our cancer detection dogs. We're the only ones in the world who do this, and it's through our company, UnitedK9Professionals.com. We're actually looking for some more people in the L.A., Sacramento area. We're also looking for people in the Syracuse, New York area, as well as New Jersey, and of course, Missouri, where we just purchased a magnificent new farm. We'll be posting all the pictures of our newest farm. But it's so exciting to see how we're able to, with very, very high accuracy, nearly virtually 100% accuracy, be able to diagnose cancers early. And not just cancers, but all kinds of different illnesses. We were able to work with a wonderful man named Tommy Thompson, and he's awesome. He's a firefighter, and he was we chose him to be able to be on the air and to be interviewed by WABC in Los Angeles. And the ABC reporter was just what a nice guy. Really had done his homework. Excellent reporting job. Asked all the right questions. Was very interested. And actually was a little leery about letting Savannah get too close to him because he said, I don't know if I want to know. But, you know, what we talk about is behavior. And behavior is so, so important with dogs because we do deal, unfortunately, with a lot of people who are afraid of dogs or who don't like dogs or are afraid of animals or don't like animals. And these people have to kind of suck it up and get over it because, you know, what happens is, when we train a dog, the dog cannot be in somebody's face licking it, especially when we deal with so many people who are not big fans of dogs. And, you know, I myself am a horse lover and a dog lover, and I love all animals, but horses and dogs are my thing. And what's a little bit kind of silly or funny to try to figure out is when you start realizing that there are a lot of people who want to know if they have a disease or if they have a potential trouble brewing in their body. Well, if they have that trouble brewing in their body and they want to know but they're afraid of dogs, then, you know, it's kind of a little bit of a problem there because obviously you don't want to have somebody whose cortisol levels are going to spike and then the dog will be indicating on cortisol level. Which is another thing that we do in schools, and we've got, I can't even count anymore how many schools we're working with across the country doing this, and we're in a very large, I believe it may be the second largest in the country, school district, which is very, very exciting as well. But it all starts with natural canine behavior rehabilitation, which is our trademarked and copywritten technique. My book's finally back from the editor, so everybody who's been calling in and emailing and hitting our website and saying, please, when can I get Janice's book? The book is going to be out. I mean, it's ready to go, and now it's just being turned into an e-book, which I understand doesn't take very long. So I know I've been promising it, but we finally got it back from the editor. The editor, and I quote her, said that if she had had this book 2 years ago that she never would have had all the problems she had with her dog who became aggressive because she would have known what to do. And that's a really high compliment. I want everybody who's listening to know that we'll probably start November 1st. Every single week, we will be giving away probably 5 copies. I will do that, and I will tell my assistants to do that. So if you call in, we will start probably November 1st, every week till Christmas. We will be giving 5 free copies of the ebook, of my new ebook, which is really, it's just really helpful for people. And it's not about me, because you really don't care who the book is about. You care about how to fix your dog and why. And because of my extensive background with animal behavior, starting when I was 17 at Columbia University, you know, you realize that, unfortunately, a lot of the hooey that is out there about these dominance theories going all the way down to cookie, 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 to clickers, to prong collars and shock collars, you know, that isn't the way dogs do things. Dogs don't go in the wild. I mean, heck, they don't have opposable thumbs. I don't know how a dog would be able to click a clicker or open a box of wheat-containing dog biscuits to throw to the pack. That's not how dogs do things. And, you know, having all the extensive experience that I have, plus, you know, my educational background is always, of course, helpful. Columbia University in New York City, my proud alma mater, you know, is a really great institution. It's, you have to, you know, basically jump through hoops and be, you know, number one of number one of number one to get in. But, you know, I'm glad I went there instead of some of the other Ivy League schools that I got into, because I felt that Columbia gave me a really great balance of different aspects of life that perhaps I wouldn't have thought of before. So I think it's very, very important for people to understand that dogs do what dogs do because they're dogs. They don't do what they do because we want them to do something. They react and act and behave according to the ways of nature. 26 million years of evolution for a wild, whatever creature it was, to turn into a wild dog, and only a few thousand years for the dogs like, you know, like shepherds and huskies and those kind of dogs to turn into Maltese and poodles and whatever else we have out there. So, you know, millions and millions of years can't be wrong. You know, that's kind of like, you know, one of my friends, I was driving cross country with her, and I literally drove probably, probably about 2,800 miles the total trip. And I drove the first 2,750, and I was just so exhausted that end. And she, you know, brought us home, which was great contribution. That last 50 miles was very important. But she's like, oh, I'm so tired from driving. I kind of looked at her and was like, do you realize what you just said? I just drove, like, everything other than 50 miles. So it's kind of the same way. You know, people think that that dogs do what, like obedience and things, which obedience is fun and it's fine. It's not a bad thing. But if your dog has a behavioral issue or you want your dog to be well-behaved instead of well-trained, you got to do it behaviorally. Do it by studying dogs. And that's really important because people don't understand that the way you learn from dogs is by watching dogs and studying them more. I have a background with horses, and that definitely helps a lot because horses and dogs, although they're very similar in some regards, as they are to other animals and other animal behaviors, there's the biggest divide is the predator-prey divide. So if you have a predator is going to naturally want to chase and hunt, where the prey is going to naturally try to run and hide. So if you understand the basics, you can have a really great dog. You just have to understand how he thinks. So as my delightful Wyatt, who just came in to give his mommy a big kiss and wag his tail, that's my boy, my sweetheart, we are going to break for our first break, and we are going to come back with some awesome stuff about how you can get your dog to be super well-behaved. So stay tuned. We will be right back.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we are definitely excited about Friday. We love Friday, and it is also the Jewish holiday of Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. And anyone who is Jewish or anyone who is observant of the holiday, I wish you a healthy fast and to have a wonderful, healthy new year. And hopefully we'll all be here for a very long time together. So we were talking a little bit earlier about a dog being well-behaved, like Wyatt, who is staring into my eyes with his magnificent brown eyes. I didn't have to tell my dogs what to do. I don't have to explain to them what I need. He just laid down by my feet in my studio here in New Jersey, finally home. I didn't have to say, Wyatt, sit, Wyatt, lie down, Wyatt, come. My dogs want to be with me. Why do you think they want to be with me? Well, they want to be with me because, first of all, I'm their leader. Second of all, I'm their mother. Here's Lexi coming in. Hi, Lexapro. So if they love you, they will want to be with you. I always think about it as thinking about when we were kids. And, you know, my mom, she's still alive, 89 years old, God bless her. And my mom, when we were kids, would say, okay, kids, come on. My brother Jeff, who's a brilliant market technician, probably the best guy in the country, if not the world. He's absolutely brilliant. Very proud of him. And my nephews. But my brother and I would be, uh-oh, Mom's making us go out shopping. Uh-oh, Mom's making us go to the store. But yet when my dad just literally walked out the door without saying a word, he'd just say, goodbye, kids. And we'd say, Dad, where are you going, Daddy? Where are you going? Oh, I'm just going around the block. I'm just going to go, you know, drive down to the bakery. Can we go? It's the same thing. Think about micromanaging your children, your husband, your wife. Think about a controlling person. I think of somebody who is barking out orders, no pun intended, but barking out orders to their dog, come, sit, heel, down, sit, lie down, cookie, blah, blah, blah. And you keep going. And I wouldn't want to have a relationship like that where all I would do is be ordered around by somebody. That's abusive. Now, I'm not saying that any of the different other forms of training or behavioral, quote-unquote, behavioral modification are not valid. But what I'm saying is if you have to tell your dog always, come heel, come with me, come, sit, lie down, don't jump, no, out, drop it, leave it, that means your dog does not respect you. my dogs, and I have a lot of dogs, my dogs are all extremely well-behaved. But, you know, if you come into my house and you say, Wyatt, sit. Wyatt, lie down. Whispa, come heel. My dogs will look at you like you have two heads because I don't have to have... Oh, hi, Wyatt. He's my buddy, giving me a kiss. My dogs are here with me because they want to be with me. My friends are with me, and all that. I'm so blessed to have so many wonderful friends and so many people who work with me and for me in my companies. And I'm so blessed to have them because they do stuff. They do wonderful stuff, wonderful things, because they want to, because they want to do better, because they want to be part of something great. My dogs follow me because they love me, not because I order them around and I make them come. Think about that concept. Really think about that on a deep level. Those of you who have overprotective parents or are overprotective parents, and then what happens? The kids start lying and they go, well, I'm going to sneak out of the house. Now, the reason that happens is because the kids don't know why they need to do something. My dogs know why. If, like, let's say something happens and one of the dogs starts barking. The moment I go up and get between them and the thing they're barking at, that exact moment, they stop barking. Why do they stop barking? I didn't say a word. I just went up to look to see what it was. Because instead of what most of the people who are in dog trainers and claiming to be behaviorists, what most of you guys do, or they do, is they're, you know, down, no, off, sit, come, leave it, you know, knock it off. So you're micromanaging the dog instead of understanding on a very deep but such a simple level, why is this dog barking? You know why the dog is barking? Because he sees something, because he's got better hearing than you'll ever have, a better sense of smell than you'll ever even dream of, better eyesight than you will ever have. He's got supercomputers in his eyes, his ears, and his nose. So he hears things. Don't think your dog is just barking at nothing, unless it's just a psycho dog that's, you know, crazy little yipper that just is yipping. But even so, you don't know what they saw, heard, or smelled that you didn't. And I say to this to people, I think this is an easy way to understand. Think about, now, those of you who are in California, think about something else. Think about Hawaii. But if you're living in the continental U.S., think about the state of California. And now, right now, there was a news report that the San Andreas Fault had its worst earthquake ever, and everything west of the San Andreas Fault has fallen into the ocean. This is not true. This is like the H.G. Wells thing with the this is not true. But think about that. So now let's assume that's what happened. How do you know that California is still there? Do you know that? No, you don't know it, because unless you're in California, you can't tell me that California's still there. So, you know, the problem is that just because your dog does not see what you see, and he sees more than you see, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. He might hear something or see something. So am I to tell my dog, who has a keener sense of smell, sight, and hearing than I will ever have, do I tell my dog, don't trust yourself, don't bark, shut up, knock it off, leave it, go lay down, sit down, stop, you know, go to your place, whatever? No, I assume that my dogs are telling me and alerting me. Remember, barks, when a dog is barking, that's an alert. Growling is a warning. Snarling is a warning. But a bark is an alert. So when the dog is barking out the window or out a door, and I walk up calmly and coolly, and I just look out there and I get between him and what he thinks he sees or what he does see, as soon as that happens, that dog looks at me as being calm, confident, and in control. So what does he do? He looks at me, but I'm not looking at him because I've got to protect him. So I'm looking outside for that couple of seconds. I don't see anything, so I turn and I go right back to wherever I was and whatever I was doing immediately. And guess what my dog does? He looks at me, and in doggy language, he'd be saying, "Oh, that's good. Mommy checked it out, and there's nothing to worry about because she already looked at it. She got between me and the dangerous thing, so I guess we're all okay. I'll go play with my toy now." So we have that instead of a lunatic screaming at the top of your lungs, "Leave it, down, sit, no, off, place, cook." I mean, can you imagine? So I think that's kind of what everybody needs to understand is going on in your dog's mind. Dogs are not doing what you think they're doing. Dogs have a completely different communication and a different language. And when those dogs are using their language and you understand their language, that's what I teach people. And that's what my team at United Canine Professionals, 855, the number 4, K, the number 9, Pros, 855-4-K9-PROS, teaches clients and teaches people who want to learn and help dogs to be rehabilitated so we don't have 4 million dogs euthanized again next year like we did this year and last year. We will be right back. Don't go away.
Treat your furry best friend with a Clear Conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426 and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
Welcome back to For the Love of Dogs with Janice Wolf. Well, Wyatt and I are broadcasting live from our really cute studio here in New Jersey, and I'm just sitting on the floor just kind of getting some last morsels of food in, and the food is actually right next to his nose, and of course he's not touching it because he's Wyatt. Right, he Wyatt? He's looking up at me with those big baby browns. You know, I think the reason we love our dogs so much is because they're not humans. I ought to make a Hallmark greeting card. I love my dog because he's not human. And that's a problem because, unfortunately, humans have a lot of issues that dogs don't. And I'm not talking about just in bad relationships or things like that. But people will lie, and they'll cheat, and they'll steal, and they'll wind up with a criminal background. I've never seen a dog with a criminal background before, but I have seen some dogs with bite histories. Now, let's talk about that, even though I don't like to talk about aggression on the show, because I always think, you know, like the show Jackass, where everybody, it says don't try this at home, but people do. So we'll hope that you guys are not fans of that show. But I'm going to explain something. There is a reason why dogs bite or get aggressive or get dominant or become fearful. And a lot of it has to do with eye contact. This is so important to not give eye contact when you're working with a dog who may be a bit fearful or unknown. You know, let's say you're working with a dog or your neighbor's got a dog and, you know, you've got whatever it is you're doing and you decide, hey, you know, I've got to, you know, make sure that I help this, you know, take care of my neighbor's dog. Well, when you walk into a new dog or you walk up to a new dog, don't stare at the dog. Most dogs are really nice, but a lot of dogs are not nice. And you will walk up and intimidate or challenge a dog. So when we're walking up to a dog, you don't want to think of having him be intimidated by you. The old adage about, you know, just stare down the dog. You know, let me know how that works for you when the dog lunges up at you. And like a client called me last night, pretty late last night. I'd been trying to get down there, but I've been traveling extensively and doing a lot of lectures and the work with the cancer detection and all, as well as, you know, Merlin's Kids and UnitedCanineProfessionals.com. So I've been working a lot. Well, I finally got back in to New Jersey, and this person who had been referred to me by another friend who had a who had a very aggressive dog, starts talking to me. Well, apparently her dog lunged up at someone who was staring, a man with a beer in his hand, not to be, you know, degradatory to anybody who drinks beer, because certainly a lot of people drink beer, but drunken people running or walking briskly towards the home of a dog who is uncertain is a recipe for disaster. And like my good friend Dennis always says, you can't fix stupid, and sometimes you just can't slap it out of people either. And I don't know what made this person, this man with a beer in his hand, half drunk, run up to a dog that he didn't know, but the dog lunged up and basically tore the man's arm to the bone, upper arm, and a big gash, really needs a lot of reconstruction. You could see the tendons and the ligaments and the bone, and certainly the muscle that had been torn off. That is possible. Of course that happens. But think about what the dog was doing from the dog's perspective. Now, you see somebody, and now instead of making it a dog, think about this. You are the man of the house or the lady of the house. You are protecting and providing for your family, for your children. So, in order to protect your children, you have to make sure that nobody or nothing comes in or near your home that could possibly harm your children or your family. So now think like a dog. A dangerous, dangerous person is running unpredictably, uncontrollably with a very strange energy because this person is drunk. And he's coming towards your person. Your human is behind you. And you are in front of your human. Your human is sitting down in a vulnerable place on the front step. So you are protecting your house from this horrible intruder who could be trying to hurt your family. And what do? You wait to see if the human does something. The human does not do anything. And you snap into dog mode and you say to yourself, I am in charge. I must take care of my human and protect him and protect my home. Because this person coming towards us is unstable and is staring at me. And you know what that means. When you stare at somebody, that's a challenge. That's a confrontation. So what does this good dog do? Does he run behind his owner? No. He runs at the intruder, and he bites the intruder, lunges up, pushes him down, and rips his arm, and then runs back to his owner. Now, is that a bad dog, or is that a dog that we wish would be a husband or a boyfriend who would protect us from danger? Well, I don't blame the dog. Now, why did the dog do that? Because the dog is uncertain, because the person, the human, the owner, has not shown the dog yet that he is in charge versus the dog being in charge. Once we teach the dog that the human is in charge, then the dog no longer has that job of providing or protecting. This is such an important concept. And I know there'll be people out there who will say, oh, that's not how dogs think. Okay, you let me know when you've got a PhD in dog psychology. I do. I've got an extensive background, 25,000 plus dogs. I've been doing so many dogs, and especially the last 2 years, thousands of dogs, because we don't have to keep going back over and over and over again. We go back, maybe an occasional follow-up, but, you know, we're really those people who are, you know, who are the ones who are trying to teach others. So if you want to learn how your dog is thinking and how other dogs are thinking, then you want to learn natural canine behavior rehabilitation, because that's what we teach, is how do dogs think and why do dogs do what they do. There is a reason, and there is definitely a lot that people do wrong that gives dogs misconceptions and a misunderstanding of what we intend. And that is the problem. So the dog who protected his owner, I think that dog should be given a medal. I mean, I would want somebody to protect me if that happened. But what happens instead? The dog will be declared a dangerous dog. I will have to go in and testify in court as an expert witness. We will hopefully be able to get this dog, you know, released from the quarantine that it will be placed in. And hopefully the owners will stand by the dog and be able to help with my help and with the help of other of our professionals at United Canine Professionals. We will be able to rehabilitate that dog into a stable, calm, confident, great member of the family. But you know something? It's not the dog's fault. It's rarely, I won't say never, but it's rarely the dog's fault. The dog is just doing what he's doing because he's a dog. And dogs do what dogs do because they are dogs. So we're going to unfortunately have to break again, but we will be back in another moment. So please stay tuned for the Love a Dog.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dogs with Janice Wolf and Wyatt. Have to give a big shout out to the wonderful Cynthia L. from International Firefighter Cancer Foundation, who is just an amazing human being and has spent hours and hours and hours learning about our cancer detection work, and she's just a beautiful person. I really enjoyed the week with her that we just spent in learning and getting to meet some of these wonderful firefighters and first responders who are putting themselves in harm's way, and who fortunately we are going to be able to help by teaching more dogs how to find cancers. So it's a very interesting thing. If anybody's interested in becoming part of our team or getting more information, or if you're the family member of a firefighter and you're interested in having the test being done, you can contact us at United, the letter K, the number 9, UnitedK9Professionals.com, or at MerlinsKids.org. You can call 855, hi Wyatt, or you can call 855, the number 4, the letter K, the number 9, PROS, 855-4-K9-PROS. We will be happy to help you. So, back to the old grind. So let's continue talking about why dogs do what they do. When dogs are doing something, whatever the behavior is, it means that they see themselves as being in charge. And as the leader, then they have to, unfortunately, decide which rules they're going to make for themselves and for other pack members. Now, this does not mean we're talking about pack mentality of dogs are going to beat the heck out of each other and one's going to win, one's going to lose. But it does basically work, the survival of the fittest, Charles Darwin. So if you want to go argue with Darwin, you can get an H.G. Wells time machine or Back to the Future, the DeLorean, and you can go back there and you can go complain to Charles Darwin. But the man was right. Nobody disproves that. And you know, it's just, it's one of those things where if you don't understand why animals do what they do, then you don't really have any right to be, you know, making commentary, because dogs do what they do because they're dogs. They're predators. They're derived from wolves. Not wolves like myself, but wolves, wild wolves. And they need to survive. And in order to survive, they roam. They hunt for food. So while they're out there roaming around hunting for food, whoever is the leader has that extra responsibility. Of course, he gets the perks, but he's got the responsibility of protecting his pack while he's trying to provide for his pack. So when some other dog challenges him, or challenges her, but it's generally a male, when another dog is a challenger, that dog and the new challenger will fight very often. They will posture, they will nip, they will growl, they will snarl, and they will stare at each other. Why do they stare at each other? Because it's a challenge. Hey, buddy, I'm taking you down. No, you're not. Yes, I am. No, you're not. Ever argue with a little kid and you say something and they go, no, I don't want to. And you go, do it. No, I don't want to. I mean, how are you going to win? So a challenge is when you're staring at a dog, you're looking into his eyes, and you're waiting to see what he's going to do about if he's going to back off or not. That is not how dogs, our domesticated dogs, work. A challenge is a challenge. So if you're staring at a dog, unless you're completely prepared to take on that challenge, if that dog comes after you, and he may, then don't stare at the dog. We're not in this to be smart, Alex, and, oh, do you have any O-positive blood? I'm not stupid like many people are, and you aren't stupid either. Does it make sense to set the dog up for failure so that you get bitten and now the client sees his or her dog biting us, and now all of a sudden it's like, oh, my gosh, my dog did bite somebody. If you make that happen, you're the first person who gets bitten, and you did something wrong. It's don't blame it on the dog time. It's you know, for me, it's don't blame it on the dog time. For you, it's why did the dog suddenly bite? Well, guess what? You were doing something really, really stupid, and you can't fix stupid. So don't stare at a dog. If you don't look at the dog and don't stare at the dog, there is so much less of a chance that anything will happen because he's not feeling that you're challenging him. Really, are we trying to challenge dogs, or instead, are we trying to communicate with our dogs? Are we trying to build up a great relationship with our dogs? That's what we're trying to do. So why do people feel it necessary, especially a lot of focus with obedience and all, and food, 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 cookie, 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 and I trademarked the phrase already. I love it. Obedience through obesity. Not that you can't do obedience. It's fun. Three of my dogs have rally obedience titles. I have no idea how to do rally, just that my dogs follow me, and when I stop, they sit. And if I stop for a couple seconds, they lie down. And if I move, they move. And if I stop, they stop because they want to follow me. So I don't know how to do it, but I'd venture to say that it's a very, very long road and takes a very long time to get very good with it. And I have a lot of respect for people who do obedience and other training methods that do not harm a dog, that do not use shock collars or prong collars or, you know, things that are very abusive, in my opinion, throwing things at dogs, citronella sprays, spraying a dog, or throwing penny cans or bean bags with chains, some of the crazy things that people do in other countries and bring it to us. If you understand your dog and you build up a connection, you build up a bond with your dog, your dog will want to follow you everywhere and anywhere. That's what I have. I can't go into the ladies' room by myself because however many dogs are in that house will be with me because they want to be wherever I am. not because I'm making them, not because I'm forcing them, not because I'm bribing them. Oh, if you come with me, I'll give you a treat. No, that's like crazy. Well, honey, if I'm really nice to you, will you do something nice for me? No, don't expect things. You do things because you do them. And same thing with a dog. You walk into the other room. If your dog doesn't naturally follow you, and I don't mean running ahead to protect you, but if your dog doesn't follow you out of a sense of wanting to be with you because he loves you, trusts you, and has a connection and a bond to you, then you have to force your dog to do that. Then he's not a stable, confident, calm dog. The goal here is that every dog should be calm, confident, stable, like Wyatt. Seriously, an unaltered male, Wyatt is probably the most stable dog I've ever seen in my life. He is gentle. He is brilliant. He can tell if you have cancer, but he won't get up into your face. If you're nervous about around dogs, he'll pick up on your cortisol. He works with special needs children. He has worked with, I don't even know, a couple thousand special needs children. He's got a book series that I've written about him called My Name is Wyatt that my good friend Temple Grandin has been helping me with some of the illustrations and all. But, you know, the goal here is that if your dog loves you and trusts you as his leader, he's going to want to be with you versus being bribed or forced to be with you. Think about that. That is such an important concept. You have to be able to understand that dogs follow because that's what dogs do. So if you have a problem getting your dog to come to you, then it means that he doesn't respect you. If he respects you, he on his own is going to come with you and follow you anywhere. Like Savannah, I had her in a number of different locations, and she had to go potty. So when I sent her out and I said, Savannah, go take a break, we were on the side of a highway for 4 days with the one hotel. She didn't go into the highway. I wasn't the least bit worried about it. She didn't get distracted, and she kept me in sight. And as soon as I turned my body a little the opposite direction, she was right on top of me, right next to me, like, oh, Mommy, hi, I'm coming with you. That's what I want my dogs to do, and I want your dogs to do that. I don't want you to force your dogs to do something. I want your dogs to love you and trust you and respect you so much that they follow because that's what they do. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with last segment on For the Love of Dogs.
Dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dogs with Janice Wolf and the inimitable Wyatt Ridgeback. And you can like our fan page for Wyatt Ridgeback, W-Y-A-T-T, Ridgeback, R-I-D-G-E-B-A-C-K. And you should also consider liking our pages for United, the letter K, the number 9, United K canine professionals. And you should also like our Merlin's Kids page, because we do some really cool things on there. And you'll be able to see all the times that anyone in our company is on TV or radio or newspaper. I know we're supposed to be in the New York Times this coming week. So we'll definitely post that as well. And, you know, it's not about getting into newspapers or video or, you know, TV. It's about spreading the word. You have to understand, those of you who listen, the thousands of you who listen every week to our Friday night For the Love of Dog show and our Tuesday night From Shelter Dog to Service Dog show, you guys are dog lovers already. You love animals. So we are not the reason that there are 4 million dead dogs euthanized every year because of sometimes overcrowding, sometimes stupidity, and sometimes minor behavioral issues that can be fixed. You have to really understand that if you can't help and you can't get a dog who is going to be well-behaved and is going to be, you know, a pleasure to be around, then you're listening to this show because you want to learn. And I love that. I really love that you guys are listening every week. And some of you guys hit the archives quite a few times because we can tell when the archives are hit. And certain shows get a lot more hits because it's really not about me being who I am or you being who you are. It's about dogs not dying. So that's why in my book, my latest book, the behavioral book that is out now, you know, all the money, 100% of that money goes to Merlin's Kids to be able to rescue more service dogs that we're going to be providing. So we're rescuing shelter dogs, and we've been doing it, rescuing in some way, shape, or form with service dogs and horses since 1985 and then since 1988. We're not around 1 year and pretending we know what we're doing. We've done this for 3 decades. This is really important stuff. And one thing I've also learned is just because you haven't seen somebody having something or doing something or capable of a skill doesn't mean they can't do it. It just means they didn't bother to show you. So sometimes you'll see that somebody will kind of, and I tend to do this, I kind of will keep my mouth kind of at bay and not say what I really want to. For instance, when I was at the home of someone who used an Australian company who throws things at dogs and screams at them, and I was talking to this, you know, the lady who is a friend of mine, and this guy starts berating me and saying, "Well, ma'am, you don't understand how dogs are behaving, and, you know, you've been, you know, I've been studying this for a very long time, and, you know, I've worked with hundreds of dogs," and, you know, he was kind of trying to, like, berate me a little bit, like that I was the stupid woman here. And I let him stick his foot in his mouth for a while. And after a little while, I said, "Wow, that's amazing. You sound like you have so much experience. Where did you learn it all?" "Oh, I learned it. We had a very intensive 2-week training program, and I had to work with all kinds of dogs over 2 weeks. I said, "I probably wouldn't want my brain surgeon to only have 2 weeks of experience. What other experience do you have?" "Well, I've worked with, oh, at least about almost 200 dogs now." "Wow, 200 dogs. That's about 2 months for me. How long have you been doing this?" And I told him, I said, "I've fixed more than," at the time it was probably about 20,000 dogs. I said, "I've personally fixed more than 20,000 dogs. I graduated from Columbia University in 3 years with 2 degrees and 4 minors. I've been doing this since I was 17 years old, and I'm no longer 17. So let me explain to you why your thinking and your actions are flawed. First of all, you don't know dogs. You don't know anything about dogs. You know what somebody told you who was probably also flawed, because it's ridiculous if you believe what you're teaching my friend here, this client. You don't know what you're talking about. "Oh, yeah, I've been doing it. I've been doing it for a long time." "How long have you been doing it?" "A long time, really long time." "How long? How many weeks? How many months? How many years?" "I've been too long, like a really long." "How long have you been doing this?" "8 months." 8 months? do you want your brain surgeon to only have to go to medical school for 8 months and then he can crack your head open? Seriously, it takes 10, 20, 30 years. This isn't something you learn. You know, people talk a good line, but this is not something that you can just learn and claim that you're an expert at, because you know what? You're going to get bitten. And after a while, people start doing things, and they take stupid chances, and they get hurt. And some people pretend to have expertise that they don't have. You know, I always love when people will say, oh, well, you know, oh, I've been doing this, you know, 10 years. Okay, how? That's great. That's a long time, 10 years. How many dogs have you worked with in 10 years? Oh, too many to mention, too many. I can't even count. Try to count. 9 dogs you worked with in 10 years? I'm sorry. That's not having 10 years of experience. 9 dogs is about maybe 2 days for me, if that. So, you know, be careful of whom you hire. And also, of course, always be careful whom you let in your house. I just had this with a potential client who I decided to help for free. And this guy actually gave my husband, who's a police captain, for lifelong and was in the MPs and is a big 6'6" guy, I gave him this phone number of where I was going. And I said, if I don't come out of here in 3 hours, and I said, and please call me an hour and a half into it so I'll be able to tell you if everything's okay. That's really rare that happens, but I had a bad feeling about it. Well, you know what? There are people out there who are not good people. And that's why you need to check criminal backgrounds on everybody you bring into your home or you hire to work with your dog, come in to fix your home, whatever it is. Because you just don't know who people are. And if you don't know who the people are, then they shouldn't be allowed to come into your home. You're asking for problems. You're asking for disaster. So check out who you allow, ask for references, and make sure. You know, anybody can have one bad reference because, you know, there's a lot of crackpots in the world. But when you see that your dog is changing for the worse after the very first hour that you're working with someone, ask them why that's happening. Say, you know, why is it that all of a sudden my dog is getting worse instead of better? Well, I don't know. That normally doesn't happen. Well, that's not a good answer. Well, gee, I've never seen anybody with this brain malformation. I'll just close you up and you'll just be dead in a week. Or you'll bleed out from my rotten surgery. You have to make sure that you, because you were given the privilege of caring for your dog for his time on this earth, it is your job to make sure that whomever you bring into your home is a legitimate trainer or legitimate behaviorist with extensive experience. And I would say, honestly, I wouldn't probably hire somebody with less than 10 years of experience. And good experience, not just, you know, I did one dog and, you know, that was it for, you know, 2008. And then in 2009, I fixed 2 dogs because, you know, you're really trusting somebody with your child. And I see this all together too often where, unfortunately, a client has used a shock collar and has used other very, very punitive methods. And now the dog has gotten worse to where it is now aggressive and attacking people or other dogs. So, you know, it's not that every single dog in the entire world can be fixed, but most dogs, 99.9% of dogs can be fixed, can be rehabilitated. So if you have one of those dogs, you got to keep listening to the show and you'll learn a lot more. Please remember to, we've got the weather changes coming in now. If you have a taller dog who has, you know, more of a tendency to gulp air, make sure you raise the food bowls and make sure you don't feed the dog when there's a bad weather change so that your dog has any kind of health issues. And above all else, love your dog. Stop ordering your dog around. Teach your dog to respect you by giving him certain very simple rules, which we go over almost every other week or so. We talk about rules and teaching your dog and making sure that your dog loves you and wants to follow you instead of, unfortunately, being forced to follow you. Well, that's it for our show again. I can't believe how quickly things move, but we're at the end again. Please have a wonderful week. If you need help with your dog or you'd like to join our team, call 855 4K9Pros or www.unitedk9professionals.com. Or if you need help with your dog and want to turn it into a service dog or therapy dog or cancer detection dog, you can contact us at 855-HI-WYATT, 855-HI-WYATT. Or you can visit our website at www.wyattwyattwyatt.merlinskids.org. Have a wonderful, healthy, happy weekend, and we'll see you all on Tuesday.